This is Views from the Watershed. I'm Lizzie Mogul, your tour guide. The city owns a lot of land and water in the Catskills, 174,000 acres at the time of this recording. It's all public land, and most of it is accessible for things like hiking, hunting, fishing, and trapping if you have a free permit from the DEP. The Catskill Mountain Club is an advocate for opening up more land and water for the public to use. They collaborate with the DEP to build hiking trails so that there are more ways to be on the land and on the water in the Catskills.
Hi, I'm Ann Roberti. I'm the current president of the Catskill Mountain Club and one of the original trail builders for the Catskill Mountain Club. I was part of a group in Andes that was trying to ban fracking. And one of the members said, you know, we have to be for something. We have to help with something, not just be against something. And then I went to a talk about the economic value of having trails near towns. And then another person talked about how there's not family-friendly trails really in the Catskills. And it just lit a fire under me, and that night I went home and emailed the Catskill Mountain Club and said, I have this idea, what do you think? And everybody was like, yeah, let's go. And I've led the projects for quite a number of the trails. We started with the Andes Rail Trail. We had to talk to the town about whether they would give permission because it starts on town property. And then I had to go to each individual landowner and get permission from them. It was kind of a lengthy process. Trail building classes confirmed and put names to some of the things that we already sort of innately knew about trying to make the trail go past very interesting objects and switchbacks when it's too steep, both for people's comfort and to shed water off the trail, because you get a lot of erosion if you don't shed the water off the trail. And the rail trail wasn't hard to build, really, and it's just gorgeous. Shavertown was our first trail that we built with the DEP. It wasn't that tough to convince them to allow the trail. They were pretty open to the idea. When we're laying out a trail, we make many, many, many visits to try to figure out what's the best route. So we'll go through one time just kind of looking at everything. And then the next time, we flag it with surveyor's tape, and then we start looking at whether it needs a little adjusting here and there. Once we had the route pretty well set, we applied for a land use permit, and that took a little while to come through. So then once it was approved, we brought folks out here to cut very small trees. We root around anything that's more than really a sapling. We did a little bit of side hilling when the land is too sloped to walk comfortably on, and we were able to design a trail from scratch that goes through really nice woods and around rock forests and cool things. And then you come down through open fields with the big mountains out in front of you. The DEP had to log the area because there were so many ash trees, which would have been a hazard to hikers, because when ash are killed by the emerald ash borer, they just drop pieces of themselves with no notice. So it would be dangerous for people to be hiking around dead ash trees. We had to reroute the trail to come up this way. But I like this route. You pass lovely streams, you're in the shade. You get a real in-the-forest experience. The pond was here, and that's what made us think this would be a fantastic place to have as a destination. So when we were first looking at this property with the DEP, one of the fellows we were working with said, and how can we discourage people from swimming in the pond? And I jokingly said, well, we could call it Snake Pond. And we all laughed, and then he said, I think that's a great idea. And so that was how the name of Snake Pond is born. And quite a lot of people think it really does have snakes in it because of that name. If you look in, it's pretty mucky, so I think that discourages people from swimming a little bit more than the name. But dogs love to swim in it. My dogs do, yes. The Catskill Forest Association offered to donate two benches to us. So when we go to pick it up, one of them says, "Anne Roberti sat here." And they were like, "I hope you don't mind." And I was like, "What can you do?" So one bench says, "Anne Roberti sat here." So I guess I should sit here. I have sat here a few times. We've come up here to watch meteor showers and eclipses. If you're taking the road path up or down to the pond, you'll pass the DEP weather equipment. They basically are monitoring the level of snowpack, because if there's a lot of water sitting up in the mountains, they might reduce the level of the reservoir in case this snow should all melt. For example, when we had a thaw and rain event one year, which sent an awful lot of water down the mountains, the DEP didn't have a problem because they knew what was up here and the reservoir was able to handle what was coming into it. Here's the snow pillow where they're weighing the snow that lands on the top of that. Trail maintenance is different for different trails, depending on what kind of terrain the trail goes through. So, for example, clearing blowdowns, branches, and sometimes whole trees that fall down on the trail. But other trails have a lot of grass and blackberries and things to clear, and that actually is an awful lot more work. Usually I carry a saw with me whenever I'm out here on small clippers, just to take care of new things that might have fallen on the trail. The trail maintenance crew is made up of volunteers. We're also working a lot with people who've agreed to be the trail stewards for individual trails. So they're responsible for some of the trail maintenance. A lot of the trails have individuals who hike them frequently and keep their eye out for problems and things like that. The CMC was formed in 2004 to try and get people recreating more in the Catskills. We mostly led hikes as our first mission. As we grew, we started leading other kinds of events like paddling and some bike riding and occasionally cross-country skiing and things. Once we had the trail building idea, that just became a really big part of what we do. We have the Andes Rail Trail, the Delhi Trail, Bramley Mountain Trail, Palmer Hill, Shavertown, Ashokan Quarry Trail. Six so far, and we have another one in the even more rudimentary planning stage. So the building and maintaining of the trails has been a really big focus, and also trying to educate people about what you need to do to recreate safely and what you need to do to protect the environment while you're doing it. The trails that we've built are more family friendly, so we hope we're starting people out and then they want to work their way up to being able to do something else, and we're hoping to create some lifelong hikers by starting out on these easier trails. So now we're at the Shavertown Bridge boat launch. When I first came here, the only thing allowed on the city property was hunting and fishing, and there was no recreational boating, and I was already a kayaker, and I was dreaming of being able to kayak on the reservoir. And eventually they did open the reservoirs up to paddling, and that's been very, very popular. I have been involved ever since they did open it, and they opened it up to a number of the other reservoirs. This boat launch is where the kayakers and canoers can keep their boats. It's one of maybe four or five launches on the Papaktan. Before you can put your boat in the reservoir, you have to have it steam cleaned so that invasive species are not released into the reservoir. Fishermen can keep their rowboats at many more designated spots. We can leave our boats here locked to the racks, which is wonderful because I can finish up work at 5:30 and be down here at 5:45 and in the water at 6 o'clock. Before this was open to kayaking, I had a rowboat and a fishing license and a fishing pole. I didn't fish, but I did occasionally go rowing. But it's not as much fun as kayaking, in my opinion. There's so much to see from this particular boat launch. You can travel up the Tremperskill, and in the spring, you're paddling in between trees and you feel like you're sort of in a bayou or something like that. And at the end of the season, the water's so low that big rock faces come out of the water and waterfalls are exposed, and it's beautiful in a whole different way. When I was paddling once, the reservoir was very low. The town of Arena comes out of the water, what's left of it. You can see sidewalks and the stone steps up to what used to be a house. And there's a pile of metal from what must have been some kind of shop. You could see where the train depot was, where the columns were for the train station. So we have some great times out here paddling. We don't see very many other people out there. We see a lot of wildlife when we're out there. We've seen swimming bears, we've seen swimming fawns, and all sorts of bird life, and beavers. So we've kind of made friends with a couple of beavers over the years, and had a beaver make an appearance and swim between boats at one of the paddles I was leading, and that really excited a lot of people who had never seen a beaver before. Oh, it's just fantastic. It really is. We're so thankful that the DEP, that they're really opening things for recreation in general. There's a whole change in mindset from when I first moved up here. So much of the area is the DEP land, and I think that allowing the public to use it makes the public cognizant of the environment, makes them want to protect things more. There was a lot of bad feelings from local people over the takings of these lands in the beginning, and all of this opening of the lands and allowing people to use it, it changes minds a little bit and certainly makes people who come here learn more about the ecology and where New York City water comes from too.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Views from the Watershed. Learn more about this program at walkingthewatershed.com/podcasttour.